Okay, we're now, Micah is now going to talk to a spokesperson of CLAC, Fred Burrell.
Sounds good.
So, as we've said, we're here at the corner of René Lévesque and Mansfield at the manif organized by Le CLAC. Would you introduce yourself, please, and tell us, just set the scene, let us know what's going on here, please?
Sure. Well, my name's Fred. I'm today the spokesperson for the CLAC, or one of the two spokespeople for the CLAC. We're here outside the cathedral on René Lévesque, next to the Queen Elizabeth Hotel, as we called it, the Gilded Fortress, where an international gathering of thieves and crime bosses are meeting to discuss how best to implement the neoliberal agenda, the International Economic Conference in Montreal.
I read that today's theme, or at least one of them, is sustainable development. That's been called a problematic term for a variety of reasons. I was wondering if you might be able to speak to that.
For sure. I mean, essentially, the whole point of this conference is to figure out how to do the things that they want to do anyway, but say them in such a way that no one will realize that it's happening. And sustainable development is one of the key terms in that new doublespeak. So we have Oxfam, for example, inside talking about inclusive growth, sustainable development, a discourse as brought forward by Hydro-Québec, Trans-Canada, Alcan, all companies which have been denounced on the international level for the destruction of environment and also the social environment for the people who live in the places where they work.
This is the 20th year that this conference has happened in Montreal. Have you noticed any changes in the past few years about, I don't know how long you've been involved, but if you might be able to speak to that, about the subject matter, the tone of the conference, things like that?
Well, I think that you can see that in the way that they present all the different conferences and the titles, that it's very much about taking into account environmental criticisms, taking into account new global realities about climate change, etc. But it's purely on the level of rhetoric. So we can see that, you know, as like the world scientific community is saying to us, well, you know, actually, if we don't stop doing it the way we're going to do it, there's not going to be any more Earth or any more humans. These major corporations are figuring out what is the way that they can best spin the things that they do. So we're no longer in the same optic of like pre-Seattle or pre-Quebec City, in which, you know, it was kind of like, well, you know, it's austerity for growth, and that was it. Now it's inclusive growth. Now it's sustainable development. Now it's you know, what are the best ways that we can maximize our profit while still using clean energy? So the discourse is sensitive to those criticisms, or is co-opting those movements. And groups like Médecins Sans Frontières and Oxfam are participating in that by being on the inside and engaging in those discussions.
So this is the Economic Forum of the Americas, and ostensibly it's trying to present a so-called American perspective on the global economy. I was wondering if you could speak to that in the sense that these are multinational organizations that are participating. What place do you think the so-called American perspective has in economic globalization?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that they're talking about this weekend is the new economic reality in which the United States is no longer it no longer has such a level of dependence on the rest of the world, on the global south, for energy production. And partially that's because of shale gas and like a reform of the exportation of oil and the tar sands. So it's a recentering of power. So that we can think about it as, you know, the obviously the exploitation of the global south continues without any decrease, but it's also a turning inward to greater exploit indigenous peoples here in the territories of the Americas, running pipelines across their lands, destroying the environment. So it's a new orientation, but, you know, it's in the same imperial colonialist logic.
How are some of these strategies that they're employing affecting local communities here in Quebec and in Montreal?
Well, I mean, the primary one that we can think of that folks have already referenced here today is Hydro-Québec. You know, Hydro-Québec talking about energy for all, you know, the right to energy, when in fact, you know, they've, as Marie-Ève just mentioned, they've just in this year increased Hydro-Québec fees across the board for rich and poor at an astronomical level, simply, in fact, to finance... to subsidize private companies producing energy here in Quebec for external markets. You know, we can also think about pipelines, shale gas, and the way that that destroys the environment for everyone. But you know, in a environmentally racist logic, has particular impacts on Indigenous communities who are struggling to reclaim their land, who are by and large disproportionately affected by the environmental impacts of those projects because they are closest to them in a variety of regions across Canada, but here in Quebec similarly.
One of the speakers on the docket today inside the Queen Elizabeth is the, as far as I understand, the director of TransCanada. What are some of the ways that TransCanada's activities are affecting communities here on Turtle Island?
Well, I mean, obviously, it's the issue of pipelines, from which communities, Indigenous and allies, are opposed to from, you know, from BC all the way to the East Coast. Those pipelines, you know, pose multiple dangers to the health and security of communities, as we saw in Lac Mégantic. The transport of tar sands oil is very hazardous, and it, you know, by and large, passes through communities that have historically been economically marginalized. Even in St. Henry here in Montreal, where I live, you can see that, you know, we have every so often a train that derails in the middle of the neighborhood, and we have no idea what it's carrying. It could very well be tar sands oil, could very well be some sort of other chemical. So we see the transport of these materials, which is very much about re-energizing, reboosting growth in the North American capitalist economy, is done on the backs of people who have no control over it and who have no say about what comes through their communities.
So the mayor of Montreal, Denis Coderre, and the Liberal premier of Quebec at the moment, Philippe Couillard, are participating as well. Can you speak briefly to how they're implicated in all of this?
Sure. I mean, there was a section, I think, on Radio Canada yesterday about the conference, and Philippe Couillard, you know, was quoted at length speaking about how social programs and investing in it is kind of a false progressivism, that actually, you know, what needs to be done is the restructuring of the state to promote growth. We can see that the Liberals, in their budget that they imposed last week, have a clear intention to continue and even expand on the austerity legacy of Jean Charest. And of course, Denis Coderre, you know, is an integral part of that, and has been for a very long time, you know, as the federal minister, in large part responsible for the invasion of Haiti by Canada. And here takes on a populist discourse, but very much, you know, supports business initiatives that impact populations, supports the austerity agenda, and uses the discourse of social justice to cover up that agenda without actually doing anything.
One term that comes up very frequently lately, and not so lately, is public-private partnerships. Can you please speak to how that's, from an empty capitalist perspective, what exactly is a public-private partnership?
Well, it's essentially a way, I mean, in its definition, it's the purest form of the way that state and capital work together to screw people. You know, whether that be the construction of schools that only some can access, re-gearing of our education system towards the profit margin of companies, and also in major forms of infrastructure. You know, we have the chief economic investor of the World Bank today talking about the importance of public-private partnerships for infrastructure construction. So, yeah, we're talking about dams, we're talking about other types of projects that displace Indigenous communities around the world. Essentially, it's the state using its resources to help out corporations who wish to make a giant profit margin off the backs of the needs of people.
The local government here in Quebec recently instituted a new austerity budget. Can you speak about how that's affecting people?
Sure. I mean, there are many measures in the government in the budget that that fall into that austerity logic. Actually, we find ourselves in a situation that's very similar to the first Charest budget of 2003. So we're talking about hiring freezes, about pretty severe caps on investment in social programs, and also the government has announced that it's going to, you know, maintain all of the regressive measures of the previous years. So the health tax, the indexation of tuition, and the Hydro-Québec increases, and basically they've said that this is, they are preparing the ground for their 2015-2016 budget, in which they're going to cut us across the board. So they've announced last week in their budget that not only do they wish to maintain the situation handed down to us by Charest and then Marois, but in fact they're going to go even further.
How does Le Plan Nord, the agenda to invite the mining industry into Quebec's north, figure into all of this?
Well, I mean, it's a perfect example of the ways in which the concept of economic growth is separated from the well-being of the people who live here in Quebec, and particularly its indigenous communities. You know, the strategy for economic growth in Quebec is, you know, cut social programs, exploit natural resources. So natural resources in this case means, you know, gold, water, other types of minerals, and the massive investment in the invasion and theft of indigenous land in the north of Quebec, and also the exploitation of people in order to extract those things. You know, you have folks from all over Quebec moving up to the north because they can't find a job anywhere else, living in you know, one of the only regions that is still experiencing a housing crisis, so renting you know, essentially shitty little apartments for thousands of dollars in order to have a place to work there. You know, it's the moving about of the population for the needs of corporations rather than like an actual investment, or rather than an actual economic plan for helping people out.
So finally, I'd like to ask you a little bit more about Le CLAC. So it's the Convergence des Luttes Anticapitalistes. So as a convergence of struggles, who are the organizations that are, and groups of people who are participating in this?
I mean, there's folks from all different walks of social movements. There's people who are involved in Indigenous solidarity work. There's people who are involved in community groups, communist organizations, people who identify as anarchist. Basically, it runs the gamut of all walks of life, because there are, you know, people from all sectors of society are affected by capitalism and are able to look around and see that the way that we organize the economic system doesn't make any sense.
Thank you very much, Fred. Is there anything you'd like to add?
No, just encourage folks to come down and join us here on Mansfield and René Lévesque to denounce the agenda of the Montreal conference.
All right, thank you very much, Fred.